The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Or not.
No, it's good. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Oh, man. Okay, so today we have a good topic for you. You're going to like it.
Who are you?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I was all excited. Let's just, like, talk about the topic.
Oh, no.
Nobody cares who we are.
Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, Bob Martin.
We the people.
We together become we the people with the people that we add to our we the people. And today we have Kristen Rule and Ken Crandall. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Whistleblowers from the Philadelphia VA. And these guys are not rookie whistleblowers. Not that we mind rookie whistleblowers. We like them, too. But all this stuff you see with the Veterans Administration, these guys are on the inside track of it. And the Philadelphia office has drawn, we'll say, quite a bit of attention.
Yeah, they got some exciting stuff going on there.
They've had some nutty stuff.
Here and the other world, I understand.
That's true.
They cover it all.
Yeah,
when you go to work there, you're in the know.
Well, except for the fact that the lady that they had for the psychic apparently wasn't a very good psychic. First of all, she didn't know she was going to get busted for not filing her taxes. And then she didn't know she was going to get busted.
Well, she was so busy.
To have them tell the whole story. We're
talking,
like,
to the dead that she forgot to.
For $35. Come into my kitchen. I do have to post that article, too. I neglected to post the actual article. Nothing like being written up in the paper for stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's got to just be a proud moment.
Yeah.
No, that's not me. Oh, no, wait. That's the one about the tweets. She's, oh, no, it's not me.
I wonder if she had, like, a shingle hanging outside her house, you know, palm reader.
Don't know. But the Twitter gal, she's a knucklehead, so we'll get into that. So anyway, we've got some fun stuff. We've got some serious stuff. And for those of you who enjoy the behind-the-scenes look at what's going on in our federal government, today's the day for you. And the Veterans Administration, lots of times it's just bad news and more bad news. This is kind of like more bad news, but, you know, there is a little humor mixed in, except for the fact that at the end of the day, never lose track of the fact that while all this craziness is going on, veterans claims, benefits, and this involves the Pension Management Center, and those guys will tell us more about what it is they do, but this involves a very large number of veterans. So when you wonder what the delays are, sometimes it's stuff like this. So let's see.
Well, it's important stuff, though. It's stuff that, you know, they really do need to be involved in do their job correctly.
Extra, where I come from, they call that extracurricular.
You want to see it coming.
So. And it wasn't extra credit. It was just extracurricular.
It was extra something, all right.
So let's see. The fun part about this is the guys in Philadelphia have a secret weapon, as it were, because Kristen had the foresight to go to law school before she went to work at the VA. Little did she know she would actually need that. And so the folks there have their own in-house counsel, if you will. And I know that Ken has made use of that because, if I remember correctly, he got fired twice. So that's all I know. I've exhausted all my information. I will no longer add to the story.
Yeah, now we can backtrack from the beginning and fill in all the blanks.
Just in case you were thinking about not listening, that's pretty much where we're headed.
Yeah, pour a cup of coffee because this is going places. This will be fun.
It'll be fun. So Kristen and Ryan, or Ken, I don't know how you guys have this set up, but what's the plan over there?
The plan?
Oh, there you are. Yeah. You guys can take us on a little trip, however you'd like it.
All right. Well, we're both whistleblowers, and we were both whistleblowing but didn't know each other. And interestingly enough, with all the news about psychic mediums in Philadelphia, I was washing my hands one day in the bathroom at work, and this lady who I'd never met before in my life is washing.
December 2011
is washing her hands next to me in the sink.
Was she
looks over
could
at
you,
me.
Could you only see her in the mirror, though?
I wasn't even paying any attention, to be honest.
You gotta watch it, yeah.
And she said, "Do you work here?" And I said, "Yeah, do you?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "I think you should meet my friend." And I said, oh, no thanks, I have a boyfriend. And she said, no. And she explained to me that she has this power that she connects people. So at first I'm like, this is a little weird. And she said, but just take his extension. He works here too. I think you guys have something in common. So I thought it was extremely bizarre because I'd never told this lady anything about myself. And so she gives me the extension of this guy, Ken. So I go and I call him and we end up talking and we find out that we're both whistleblowers. He had been whistleblowing. I was whistleblowing. We had both gone to law school, and we both had claims filed against the VA. So we became friends, and it ended up that, I guess on the previous shows, we talked about being a whistleblower and some of the challenges, and it's very hard to get a lawyer to represent you. So we decided to team up, and I was going to help him win him his job back, and that's really how we met.
Nice. And what was Ken on, Ken, what were you on the hot seat for at that time?
Well, I had filed an EEO complaint in August 5th of 2011 and started whistleblowing almost every day, meaning I would fax something to the Office of Special Counsel or to whoever I could contact on that particular day, a representative, a congressional representative. But I made an effort at least to do one thing a day, sometimes a dozen things a day. So on August 24th, they told me I was going to go on a performance improvement plan.
Uh-oh.
So one of their scams they have going on, I'd only been on a job for a few months at that point, but I realized the place was corrupt. You can see the files they gave me before I even went away for training on your website. And they decided to put me on a performance improvement plan, which is basically, it's meant to make you a better employee, but I'd only been on the job less than 3 months at that point.
And they gave you that many files?
Correct. Even that was March 1 of 2011. Those are veterans that were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan with multiple issues, and I had not even had training yet. So they gave me over 300 files. That was just some of them. It was so unfair to the veterans to give that to a new guy. So I knew the place was screwed up, and they were setting me up for whatever reason. I think it's because they knew I had a law degree and I was a potential threat. They told me on August 24th I was going on a PIP, and they put me on a PIP September 1.
What does that mean?
They could to make sure I failed that PIP by taking my production work away, giving it to other people, and of course I failed because they, at the end of the PIP, they invalidate your points to make sure you fail. And
okay.
Then I sent an email on February 9th to Allison Hickey, the VA Undersecretary for Benefits, and 5 days later I was fired.
And you'd been there how long?
I'd been there it'd been 2 years. The first year I spent working on an education project.
Wow. And so now go backwards for us, for the folks who don't speak VA, the PIP and the points and the stuff like that. We have spoken about that on this show, and I should mention to people, wethepeopleradio.us is the website we're referring to. Got all excited at the beginning. Forgot that part. And on that site, links to previous programs, some of them we have done with Kristen and also with Ryan Cease from the Philadelphia area. Oakland, we've got a bunch of different things. So if you want to kind of learn more about this, you can go on there. But for the folks that are maybe just tuning in or have forgotten, what is the PIPs and the points and how does that all work? How do they grade you guys? Because it's kind of odd.
Well, first of all, because a government job is a property right and we have due process, you might hear, you know, that, oh, the general population thinks that, oh, it's impossible to fire a government employee, which we would probably agree with that, with an exception of unless you're on production. So the way the whistleblower laws are set up is that if you think that you are being retaliated against for whistleblowing, the agency has to have a legitimate reason to go after you. So if they fire you, they have to prove that they have a legitimate reason to fire you so that it wasn't because of your whistleblowing, it was because of this. So they use this performance system, which is a point system, and they measure out a veteran's claim, and they say the average claim should take an hour. And then they factor that into your daily workload, and they expect you to do X amount of claims per day and so many claims per month and so many per year. It operates like a batting average. So if you go to work one day and a claim takes you longer and you don't make your points, you have to do that much extra the next day or you'll be failing. So they use, in my opinion, I think that when they don't like somebody or they want to terminate somebody, they use this performance system as a weapon. And I also believe it breeds corruption because people need to make these points or they'll lose their jobs. So sometimes they need to do certain things to the claims so that they make their numbers.
And oh, that's, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like it's a system that's set up to fail, and the number one way they fire people at the VA in our building is for production or for points. So basically the people who survive either know how to work the system or can get their points for whatever reason, and the people who...
Or are related to somebody and don't have to make their points every day.
Yeah, and the people who don't make their points usually get fired.
Wow, and so... all right, so in real life, I mean, I've dealt with some of these claims, and they're complicated. So do you do them? You guys are in the, you guys are both in the benefits center? Or you're, aren't you in pension?
Ken was. Ken doesn't work there anymore.
Right, but I mean, because back in Philadelphia, you guys have a pension management center, you have a benefits center, you have a pension center, and you have insurance.
Yeah.
And so which one are you, which one? Ken, you were in the benefits administration.
I was in the Veterans Service Center, which was the compensation claims for veterans who come back and have a service-connected injury.
Okay.
And Kristen was in the Pension Management Center.
We work on the income-based claims. So we both do benefits. I deal with more income-based and death claims, and he deals with a lot of veterans with service-connected injuries.
Okay. And so out here on the California side, that would be our Oakland office. We don't have a pension center here. Doesn't it all go to you guys?
Yes, we have. There's three pension centers in the country, St. Paul, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia.
But in benefit centers, there are like 58 of them? There's 50-something of them around the country.
Yep.
So like in California, there are three, for instance. So some areas have more than others. But okay, so that kind of gives us an idea of what you're working on. So super unrealistic.
Most people, now there's talk, Allison Hickey has publicly said that they're going to do away with this production system. There's talk right now that they're coming up with a new way to measure an employee doing this work. But, I mean, it just becomes, every day when you show up to work, it's just survival. Like, you're in there to survive and not lose your job. And people have lost the focus of that they're working on veterans claims. It's very sad. And if you are not, if you start to fall behind, they put you on this thing called a performance improvement plan, where everything you do is reviewed. Normally, you get 5 pulls per month reviewed for your quality. If you're on this improvement plan, they pull every case that you do, and they check it if it's right or wrong. At the end, if you make X amount of errors and you fail, they can terminate you. So usually, in our experience in Philadelphia, when you go on a PIP, you know, it's not a good thing.
Wow. Does anybody ever go out on stress there?
All the time. Yeah, we also need to explain the EEO thing and how much of that there is. We need to take a really quick break and come back. Otherwise, we will. It's funny. This is going to go really fast. We're going to get to the end and go, uh-oh, we forgot. So I hope you guys have a list. we should have probably worked that out ahead of time. Anyway, we'll be right back. We're speaking with Kristen Rule and Ken Crandall from the Philadelphia VA, and we have lots of links for you on the website. Actually, I was just adding more. We haven't even gotten to some of the fun stuff, but it's all goofy government stuff, and I thought you guys would enjoy it. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Soul, then it's just your body. Then they go,
we knew we'd have some fun with the music today. So we're talking about a serious topic, but we're going to try to lighten it up only because we don't want, you know, blood shooting out of anybody's eyes. So you're listening to We the People Radio with Aaron, Bill, and Bob here in studio, and we've got Kristen and Ken on the horn with us in Philadelphia. So, Kristen, you've been working at the VA how long? I forget.
8 years this month.
Woo-hoo. Ken, you survived how long?
2 years before I got fired the first time illegally.
Yeah, because you got fired twice. You have the dubious distinction of being fired twice.
Correct. Both times illegally.
See, the way you get fired over there is you actually do your job. It's a whole different category of
go in there, do a good job, and get fired.
You get out.
Yeah, you're not following.
We have that out here in Oakland pattern. As well. Same basic pattern. You're doing a great job. You know what? What got into you?
Yeah, you're a pain.
Yeah, you're a pain. Okay, so they put you on this performance. So is everybody on the performance? What do you? It's called PIP. So it's performance enhancement. No, that's an E. What's a PIP again?
Performance Improvement Plan.
Oh, Performance Improvement Plan. And then you were graded by points. Like, I thought your analogy was good. Batting average. That's good. So if your batting average is low, do you get, is it like everywhere else, you know, you get, like, written up or something?
You get a warning that you're going to go on a PIP. So everybody's on production at the VA who processes claims, but if they look at your production, it's supposed to be an annual standard, but if you're month three of the fiscal year and you're not passing, they could say to you, oh, you're not passing. We need to help you and put you on this performance improvement plan. But if you're not on a performance improvement plan, you do work the entire month and they only pull 5 cases to see how your quality is going. But if you're on a performance improvement plan, they check every single case you touch. So it's harder to pass an performance improvement plan because you have to have 100% review of all your work.
Oh.
Where if you're just a normal employee not on a performance improvement plan, they only look at 5 cases per month. So at some point they decide that you're not passing. And some people get a long time to not be passing and nothing is said to them. And other people, as soon as they're not passing, they go on a PIP.
So once once they kind of drop the hammer on you and it's like, and they tell you you're on this PIP, they pull all your cases and review. Who has time to do all this? They're so far behind. How do they have time to go through all the cases that you guys have already done and chase you down? Is this just a handful of people at a time or how many?
Well, supervisors don't process cases. They kind of gossip and sit in their cubicles all day and look at numbers. They don't process cases, so they kind of have all the time in the world to monitor, I guess, if that's the word you want to use, employees' behaviors and their production.
Yeah, because see, on the one hand, you know, it's funny. I feel kind of schizophrenic with this because on the one hand, we do want people. Obviously, you know, we wouldn't be advocating that everybody sit around and twirl their hair. But on the other hand, it doesn't sound like the folks who need to be watched, if you will, are the ones that are actually being watched. And you said a lot of it has to do with who you know. How deep is that?
Well, if you look at what's been going on in the media, the employees, you won't hear the average everyday employee posting crazy things on Twitter or having psychic medium parties. That is our managers. Our top managers are the people doing that. So we don't understand why they're scrutinizing the employees that are coming to work, busting their butts to do these hard, difficult cases and trying their best to help veterans when they have managers violating ethical rules and not filing taxes.
we should probably get into one of those. Where would you like to start? Would you like to start with the psychic medium thing or the Twitter posts?
Oh, you pick, Ken.
Twitter.
Yeah, learn how the technology works before you jump right in.
Yeah, so we should. Yeah. Okay, so
we'll start with that, and then we'll back up.
So for all the people who just turn reach for the dial because they're like, oh, they're going to talk about Twitter. I don't even know what that means. Okay, it's easy. You have like a, you either use your real name, unless you have a very common name or you don't want to, you know, post things under your real name. You might make up a thing, might use your dog's name, might use your initials. You could use whatever you want. Just so happens one of your managers there in Philadelphia used her first name, her last initial, and her street address.
But it wasn't her.
But she claimed that it wasn't her.
Right. We don't want to get sued.
Yeah, so what was the deal? It was during your, when I met you, right? In April?
Yeah, apparently, we didn't know that these things were posted. We only found out about these recently. So I guess the postings have interesting dates, because as you remember, I testified July 14th, and there was not such a nice Twitter posting on July 15th saying, shame on you, you know, you think you're honorable. Now I can't prove that that is about me. However, anytime that there was a negative Twitter tweet, there was something significant going on in the Philadelphia scandal. And we know that the HR chief is not a fan of either of us. So at least that's our belief. So someone showed us these tweets and said, look, is this something you want to look into? And I couldn't believe it. And when I noticed the dates on the tweets, I thought for sure they were talking about, it said you and your accomplice. So I figured it was me and Ken or me and Ryan or Ken and Ryan. But because I was the one testifying and the dates were so close, I figured the you could have been me. But
well, it's not
of
that.
Course, that's another thing about the VA. They have secret investigations. So if you report things at the VA, you don't really know what happens afterwards because managers have rights. So they will deal with the manager, and as the employee, they'll just tell you, we cannot substantiate that she was speaking about you. But you have no idea if, you know, the manager is going to ever get in trouble for posting threats on social media, whether they're about me or someone else. You don't find out anymore. Just like this AIB report that's still floating out there for the managers.
Well, what's stunning about this is somebody who's in charge of HR, whether it be private industry, government, I mean, they should be up on the rules and regulations and what you can and can't do. And then they do this. And coming from HR, it just blows my mind that they don't think people can figure this out and then nothing's done about it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the agency will say they're in the process of investigating it, but we also represent employees and help them when they run into trouble at our office, and we can verify that employees have been disciplined for far less.
Yeah.
So we think it's a double standard when it's a manager doing something questionable rather than a bargaining unit employee.
Yeah, and they're talking to the inside of their sleeve when they say, yeah, we're investigating this. Yeah.
Well, the part that's, I mean, it's just kind of a rich irony. The lady's name, what is it, Lena Giampa?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Lena, L-I-N-A, for starters. Typically, Lena, I've seen L-E-N-A. And so Lena Giampa and she happens to live at 148 something. I mean, that's like her house number, I guess. So her Twitter thing is L-I-N-A underscore the letter G and the number 148.
Yeah, now we're not... Of course, because they have these secret fact-finding investigations in our office, I probably will never be told whether or not Lena has admitted that she even posted those and who those are about. I've only been told that it is not substantiated, that the damage done to my car that coincides with the same day there's a Twitter tweet, that it's not substantiated that she had anything to do with it. But as in, did Lena make these posts or who is she talking about, we have no idea.
And we're not talking about just, you know, little comments on these posts. They were pretty inflammatory, weren't they?
They were threatening.
Yeah,
they were.
I mean, you can't do that, especially from management. I mean,
okay, so she's the head of HR. Those are the people who nitpick over, you know, can you tell, you know, jokes at work, which is basically no anymore. Can you, you know, this is the person who makes you go to all the stupid harassment trainings and stuff. So that's the person in charge of keeping everybody kind of on the straight and narrow. And she, the place where she works has what? Isn't it like 3,000 employees?
I don't even know how many
About 1,200, I believe.
Okay, because one of the I was asking about that. Maybe they meant all places, pension management benefits or whatever. So okay, 1,200. It's not five. Bottom line is, it's not five. You could be
She's been the HR director for about 10 years.
Oh, okay. That was my next question, actually. So is she new? Okay, no. Huh. And is she the one who's somebody's leaving because they have family problems or something? Is it the psychic gal or her?
That's most managers anymore. We get an email that most managers have to step down because of family problems, which is another issue that we think is just awful. These people are being in the spotlight for doing questionable management behaviors, and then they decide they're going to step down, and they take a job from a bargaining unit employee who has been waiting forever to apply for one of those jobs.
Oh, you mean they don't step down and go away and work at McDonald's?
Oh, no. They step down and they stay in our office. So on the GS level, you know, most times if you're a rater, the person who rates a veteran's medical conditions to determine whether or not something's service-connected or they need aid and attendance, those jobs are GS 12 jobs. And when you do one of those jobs, usually you have aspirations to become a GS 13 decision review officer. Those people review appeals decisions. You know, they're supposed to be pretty good at the law. So these managers that have been mentioned in the scandal, but no one yet has been punished in the scandal, we have to mention that, they decided that a lot of them have some personal and health reasons lately, and they have to step down. And they've been stepping down, taking these decision review officer positions. So the bargaining unit employees are really upset. I'm speaking on behalf of not just myself, but many people that work there, because they wanted to get one of those jobs someday, and these people are taking them. And we don't feel like that's holding anyone accountable because, first of all, if you didn't know how to interpret a FAST letter, we don't understand why you're now a decision review officer interpreting laws.
Okay, now tell people that is a FAST letter. FAST letter stands for?
That's when something in central office, something will come out, and it'll be via a FAST letter. And it's basically correspondence that's sent from Washington telling us how to do a certain policy or in a way that we're going to interpret a law. And the one that got the most attention was FAST Letter 1310,
mm-hmm.
where the VA was changing dates of claims. And it was allowing, if you found an old claim in a claim folder, instead of putting the correct date on the claim, you could put a new date on the claim. And that's what the whole entire first congressional hearing was about. They were taking that guidance and misinterpreting it.
And that affects the time that the claim actually starts when they do that. In other words, it eliminates all the back pay, correct?
Well, yeah, they were paying the claims from the right date. They just didn't want it to look like the claims were pending for longer than 125 days because General Shinseki had made a promise years ago that the backlog would be cleared up with no claims pending greater than 125 days. So the problem was these claims were old claims, and they didn't want them to show up as old claims. So they made new claim dates so that they wouldn't be old.
Oh, well, there you go. Cured the problem.
There you have it.
Move on. Nothing to see here.
And, you know, we hear all the time, well, why doesn't Congress do something about that? So I guess we should get into a little bit of the mechanics of the interplay between Congress and the agency, because it's no different with VA than it is with IRS or anything else. Bob, what do you think? Take a quick break?
Yes.
Yes, he says. Gives us the high sign, and we go for it. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be sure to refresh your page if you're listening Sunday afternoon, because I keep adding things. And we will be right back. That everything old is new again. Yep, that's how you do the claims. Poof. It's magic. I wonder if they know that song. Do they play it? Oh, my God.
Home run, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the way this, the you know, we all took government back in eighth grade. Some people, you know, took it again in high school. But I find that oftentimes we didn't get into the weeds on things. So Congress writes a law that affects the VA. The VA is an executive branch function. Congress, obviously, is a legislative branch. So the president appoints the secretary of the VA. That person is in charge for overseeing it. So Congress can't fire people that are at the VA or IRS or any place else. People just want to know, why didn't you fire Lois Lerner? Well, you can't fire Lois Lerner. That's not how the Constitution was written. You can withhold funds. Congress can withhold funds. Problem is, you can't withhold funds from the VA because it hurts veterans. So those guys kind of know they have a a little bit of a hold. The normal weapon used against them has been neutralized. So if a law is passed and the VA is supposed to carry it out, one of these fast letters would be sent out from Washington, and then that directive should go out to the field and be carried out. But as we're listening here, in the case of claims, like they're not allowed to change the dates and stuff, and they have to be done within a certain time period. Well, if they just don't want to do it, then they don't. It wasn't the law that was bad. It was kind of the carrying out part. How often do you see that, Kristen? Or Ken, either one of you?
I just wanted to, if I may, a couple of weeks ago, I saw the president in Pittsburgh. I think it was a VFW convention. And he announced that 80% of the backlog had been reduced. And having worked at the VA and knowing the scandal that's been going on, that's not an accurate number.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's just unfair. And I'm not saying the president, he's not lying. That's what they're telling him, because the people at a certain level within the management level at the Philadelphia VA, these numbers come up and they're changing the numbers illegally. And the president is not going to disbelieve the people for example, McDonald's.
I have to question you. What you said, he's not lying. What would make you believe that? Because I have a problem with that right off the bat.
Well, we don't know what he knows or what he's being told. But yes, I know. Well, anybody who says the backlog's mostly done. I mean, I think even my mom knows that's not right. That's silly.
Well, it's
80%. Is that what he says?
It's acting stupidly.
But I mean, you have to remember too. The backlog doesn't include every claim that's pending at the VA. It only includes claims that are rating EPs. So all the maintenance work, if you want to add a dependent, if your spouse passes away or you have a baby, those aren't included in the backlog. So what they do is they make the claims that are included in the backlog, they make those go away. But sometimes there are rating claims. They just disguise them under different end products. They change dates so that they look like they're current when they're not. And what we've seen happen in Philadelphia over the last few years is that they will basically manipulate any type of evidence they need to make this number that has been set that's unattainable so that they don't get in trouble. So it's like everybody's afraid that they're going to get in some sort of trouble, which we're not even sure what really happens if you don't make the numbers, because what kind of trouble are you really going to be in? And then the managers don't seem to ever get in trouble. So,
well, they won't get their bonuses.
Right, that's part of the problem. So they want to get these bonuses, usually, so they try and make these numbers. But if they would just tell the truth and say, this is unattainable, there's always going to be a claim that's older than 125 days old, but it's not our fault because we're waiting on records from Department of Defense. I mean, there's reasons why claims are pending that aren't the VA's fault, but it seems the VA makes these promises and wants to carry them out at any expense. And that's when you work there, you see that happen day by day, and it's upsetting.
Well, the thing is, I know for a fact that it's been added to some bills that they can't pay bonuses. So how is it that those bonuses are still going out?
I think certain levels of management cannot get bonuses, maybe like SES, but most of the managers in our office are not senior executive service managers.
They're like, is everybody a GS? I'm kind of dopey about that. I don't know how that works. What does senior executive service mean
for those of us who are... That's a special leadership program that you can be in if you're in the U.S. government. And you're supposed to have, extreme leadership abilities. And if you're one of these, you can go basically to any building and run it because you're a superior leader.
It's like ROTC for bureaucrats.
Yeah, and our last director was an SES, but an example is we had a guy named Robert McKendrick, and he came from the TSA department, and they brought him into the VA, never having worked at the VA before in his life, and he was there before Diana Rubens. So a lot of these problems that you hear about, they happened on his watch.
And he's now the director in L.A. That's where they shipped him to.
Yeah, they taught him a lesson.
He just moved right up.
Yep. We'll just move you up, and you'll never do that again.
And Ms. Rubens, just for those of you that need an extra dose of all this, listed on the website at wethepeopleradio.us. If you click on the veterans link, you'll see a hearing. And it's also, I think, on today's page that April 22nd of this year, there was a hearing, and there's a lovely, lovely, long dissertation by Chairman Jeff Miller, about Ms. Rubens' pay when she transferred to the Philadelphia office.
When she had to move, and just it was such a hardship.
Do you guys remember how much money that was? I don't want to misquote. It was like $300,000.
Yes, there's different numbers out there, but the last one I heard was $301,000.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know one person that ever got paid in private industry $300,000 to move to a different office. Because it was such a hardship. It just seems a little high, doesn't it?
Yeah, she didn't want to move to Philadelphia. But then Chairman Miller did a little cursory homework, a little bit like the Lena G and her house numbers 148. And just so happens that Ms. Rubens has family that lives there in Philadelphia, her mom.
Yeah, she didn't realize that when she went to move there.
No, she thought it was going to be a big pain and then said, oh, my gosh, my mom lives here.
My mom lives there. Well, I guess it won't be so bad. Wow.
So she came from... She came from Washington, right?
Yeah, she worked at Office of Field Operations.
She was the undersecretary.
So she's moving her way down the ladder as well.
She wants to retire, we hear. So she thought she would finish her years in Philadelphia.
Where she wouldn't draw any attention to herself. Because she's tangled up in our Oakland thing, too, because she was the one who identified the 13,000 claims that they buried for 20 years. So she's popped up in all sorts of different things.
That's why she's where she's at.
Exactly.
When you keep doing stuff like that, you're going to end up at the top.
She dictated a series of, descriptive personnel things about Chairman Miller's staff as well, and some other genius wrote it on a yellow legal pad, left it on the bathroom sink. And the people who saw that they had foreign objects in places that they shouldn't belong right next to their name took a picture of that page, and that wound up in a hearing. It's been just a lot.
Oh, that was Lucy Filipov. She's the same person that hosted the fortune-telling party.
Stop it.
She fired me illegally the first time.
She's the one that fired Ken.
She's a player.
She's the one who had the yellow legal pad?
Yeah, the yellow legal pad.
I have a picture of it. Actually, I'll post it online later. I don't have it in my hot little hand at the moment, but I will post that because it was unbelievable that she even wrote that kind of stuff down. That's her?
Yeah.
Kristen was my legal representative at my Merit System Protection Board hearing, and basically they did not give me due process. And when she was asked by Kristen if she ever met with me one-on-one, she said no. And Kristen asked her why she had not done that. And this is in front of a judge in a quasi-judicial setting as part of our process to when you fire somebody. But she was Lucy was asked, why did you not meet with him? And she said, well, it's past practice. As if to say, we've been firing people illegally for many years because of past practice.
Mm. Oh, my
but
gosh.
Even the union president in the building for 20, 30 years, did not know that as part of an employee's due process rights, he or she is allowed to meet with the decision maker. Well, they didn't know this stuff in the building. Wow. So I'm sure there have been dozens of people that were fired illegally out of the Philadelphia VA regional office who don't even know it, and their lives were ruined for many years after that, because you get these, you know, we And Lena Giampa, for example, who's the HR person, you know, these people get a phone call from a prospective employer. Oh, yeah, we had to fire that person.
Right, which sounds like you actually did something bad.
Yeah. I always like that excuse. Well, it's just the way we've always done it, legal or not.
When I cross-examined her, I was trying to elicit information from her, such as a statute or a regulation, because I figured if you fire an employee, you would at least know that it was legal and you'd have a citation for it. And the only answer she seemed to have was past practice. She was proud and just said past practice as if that
gets her off
the
hook. Yeah, yeah.
Great. But I mean, it didn't work out too well.
That's unbelievable.
Ken came back to work in the day that he returned, they proposed to fire him again.
The other thing, it took me a year to return to work between the court processes and all the court filings and the delays. And it took about 9 months to get a decision, and they got another 90 days to return me to work or whatever it is. But most people don't have a year's worth of resources. Fortunately, I had unemployment and I had some savings. But most people don't have that ability. They just walk away and they leave it. I was pissed and annoyed that they had done this to me because I hadn't done anything wrong. Most people don't fight. They just walk away. And I represented a guy one time in an EEO complaint. All he wanted after he got fired illegally, he just wanted his record cleansed so he could go back to his life.
Well, you just don't expect them to come at you from that angle. I mean, you think they're going to fight fair and do things according to the rules, but when they make their own rules and then support their own decisions, you don't stand a chance. It's like working for the devil.
Oh, well, the picture that's on your website of Ken's desk,
yeah.
We introduced that picture in court to show that, you know, he's a brand new guy. Why does he have all these files on his desk? He can't even have a spot to put his pen. So we show that picture in court, and their government attorneys object, and they said, you know, you're not allowed to take pictures in the building. So the rule at the moment was, at that time, was you were allowed to take a picture in the building. It just cannot have personal identifiable information. So, of course, the judge looks at the picture and he says, admissible, there's no PII. Well, we came back from the hearing and the director made a new rule and hung signs up all over the building that we were no longer allowed to take pictures in the building. So it's kind of like you have evidence to prove that they're doing something unfair and they want to prevent you from submitting it by not allowing you to even take pictures anymore.
Hmm. It's funny, we had that problem in Oakland, that the director, first director, when I first started working with folks there, the first director, he had a rule that they couldn't take their phones in and stuff. So, yeah, couldn't get anything, couldn't get any pictures. And, man, those would have been amazing, amazing. I dreamed about what they would look like. And I thought, oh, man, we're going to have a field day with these guys. But, nope, they had a rule. So I get why they do that. It does cover their back. When we come back with these guys, finish out the top of the hour, we have them on the second hour, too, so before you make other plans, you should probably just plan to stay with us. But
there's a lot more.
I want to know how much money we're talking about. How much money these guys, you know, because when we talk about GS, this and that, those of us who've never worked in that industry, we don't know what that equates to. I think people might be surprised. So we will be right back with you. I posted a ton of stuff. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Go on there and peruse. You'll love it. Now, that could be the in-house psychic, but not really, because she's not very good at it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we've just got a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour, but like a job like Lucy Filipov there, who's been involved in all these different things, these scandals, what is she? She's a GS
15.
Oh, okay. So
that's
she's
on scale at the GS level.
GS 15, step 10 is the highest you can be at the GS level.
Okay, and all this is public, so it's not like we're telling tales out of school. You can go online and read what everybody who works for the government makes. But you guys might already know this. GS 15, what's their pay zone?
It depends where you live. So, for instance, I'm looking at a pay scale right now. I tried to pull up Philadelphia's, but I didn't get it in time. But so if you work in Atlanta, for 2015, a GS 15, step 10, is $157,608 base salary.
God bless America. And so the gal who's the HR director, who doesn't seem to know that it's against the law to fire people, just because that's the way they've always done it, she's a what, 13?
In our office, that position is supposed to be a GS 13, so I believe she is a 13. Now, she's worked there for a long time, so she's probably a high step. So every year, you get a step increase, and then after it's been a certain number of years, you have to wait 2 years. But you basically get a small bonus every year when you have a when you get a step.
Mm. So these are not, I mean, these are not, you know, cheap positions. These are not. These are folks that should be absolute professionals, and the taxpayers, bottom line, are not getting their money's worth.
And qualified.
They should be qualified, absolutely. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some more fun stuff. So you guys now have 5 minutes to check out the news and make a list of what we're going to do in the next hour. We're talking about the Philadelphia VA and all the fun and games that surrounds it. Not really. Here at We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.